You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I love the idea of reading like Tolkien and being like, this is perfect, except
we need more time.
I need everybody to clap on three. One, two, three.
You said on three, not after three, so.
I did.
Mom, did you clap?
I did. I'm not sure it was the most synchronized clap of all time, but.
That was really bad.
Yeah, we'll do that one again, maybe.
Oh.
I fucked it up on purpose.
Oh, it's fine. It's just for kind of figuring out how to align the tracks.
No, but like.
It'd be okay.
It was not the most aligned clap.
All right, guys, so clap after right. Three. One, two, three.
All right. Well, whatever.
All right, guys.
Waited an extra second.
Clap yeah. After two. One, two.
Jeez, okay. This is, okay. The fucking fifth degree
okay,
here.
Guys,
okay,
guys, clap.
Just clap whenever.
Okay, 10 minutes. That's enough claps. Enough claps, yeah. All right. All right, Treston, take us in.
I like how you picked the person who knows nothing about science to take us in. So I have something very much so prepared for our guest. But anyways, hey, yo, Spaghetto here, and welcome back to the first podcast. Today I am joined by... Sorry, Porky Pig came out of me as an exorcism. Today I'm joined with... Explosions and Fire, aka Tom, and my lovely co-hosts Lars and Tej. Hello, Mr. Explosions and Fire.
Hello.
Who are you, and what do you explode?
Wow. Okay. So I run a YouTube channel where I explode various things. Well, at least I try to. I don't think I've had great success of late at actually exploding things, but I do chemistry, and sometimes it works.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I gotta say, I really appreciate your channel, by the way, because it's like, it makes you feel like a scientist afterwards. It's like a really good, safe substitute for actually getting a degree.
Yeah, good.
Fantastic.
It's got the kind of sadness that isn't a science degree okay. as well. You know, it's got the full kind of experience. That's what I aim for as well. You know, I'll finish a video, but I'm like, does it have enough sadness in it? You know what I mean? I have to re-edit it. To put some sad
fair
into
enough
it.
To show you how much of a science enthusiast and how smart I am and how prepared I am, I have the most elaborate question for you if you're ready for it.
I'm absolutely ready for it.
Okay, are you sitting down?
Yes, I'm comfortable. I'm ready.
All right, can you stand up?
No.
Okay. The question is, what is your favorite science?
Out of all of them?
Out of all the science that ever scienced ever in the universe, what is your favorite?
Oh, well, I only know two of them. So probably chemistry. I mean, chemistry, I like chemistry the most because I do that one for fun. And I don't like biology because I don't understand it, and it's frustrating to not understand something.
See, finally someone else acknowledges that understanding the woman's body is hard.
Biology is just hard in general. Like, it's just so much going on. I'm agreeing with you, but also
going on. Yeah, like, you eat stuff and poop comes out. Like, it's fucking complicated, man.
Man, it's just... God, don't get me started on nutrition. Man.
Wait, is poop biology?
Yes.
Well, yeah, poop would be biology. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
See,
you can't poop without life.
I'm playing first podcast bingo. We have to mention poop minimum once per episode, so that's off my list.
All right, we're done. Thanks for...
Hey, okay,
thanks for having me on.
Speaking of which, speaking of pooping.
Yeah.
I was watching your ice cream video,
mm-hmm.
and you made an observation at one point during the video that eggs are weird.
Eggs are just weird, man. Like, have you ever really thought about eggs? I mean, are we honestly going to say that's normal? Is this normal? Yeah.
And, it actually kind of got me thinking because it's incredibly bizarre that we just eat them. Like, you get a chicken and then it poops an egg out of its butt. And then we're just like, I should eat this.
But and also like how ubiquitous they are, like how essential they are for recipes. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't really replaced eggs.
I have a theory for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's my scientific theory, and then I'm going to present my evidence afterwards.
Okay.
So my theory is, one day, there was a guy that was really into chickens, and he got really fucking confused when this little round ball popped out. And he started, you know, just like kicking it around, thinking it's like, you know, a fun toy, and then he smashes it against the ground. He's like, oh no, I broke it. And then like this weird gelatinous...
Yeah, 'cause I was gonna say, you can only kick an egg once.
Well, no, it depends on how hard you kick it, you know, relax. Let me cook, just like we cook eggs. Anyways, after he smashes the egg, this weird like yellow liquid comes out, and yellow's an appeasing color, and I mean, he's also like, this is kind of weird.
Not in chemistry!
Fuck's sake, let me finish. So anyways, yellow is a nice color in general. I like yellow. It's color.
It's just like pea.
I like mustard.
Weird cakes.
Mustard's good. I like oranges, orange juice.
Mustard's like a D tier.
Okay, back to the topic. After you smash the egg, he's like, it's going to be really weird if I try this, but like, it came out of a chicken's ass, but like, it's an appeasing color. I really like chickens. It's kind of my fetish. So he tries a little bit. He's like, ugh, that's not the best. But anyways, he leaves it alone in the sun all day and he comes back. And then it's kind of like, you know, kind of cooked and kind of rubbery. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm going to try this again, even though I tried it earlier. He takes a bite. And he's like, bro, this fucking slaps. This like hits harder than someone on the angry juice. So then like.
I'm not done
presenting my theory, Lars from Norway.
Well, no, but I don't understand because if you ever cook an egg and you don't do anything to it, it still kind of sucks.
No, like he's like, this is all right. You know, this is edible. This is food. So then he brings his friends over. And he's like, guys, look at this egg. And he like forces them to try it. All right. Sorry. He forces them to try the egg, but he doesn't tell them where the egg came from. And they're like, bro, this is really good. What is this? He's like, it's from a chicken's ass. And they're like all pissed about him being like pranking them eating ass food, but then they're like, you know, this, we could work with this, and therefore eggs were born out of a guy's chicken feather.
Alright,
I mean
we let you cook with that one, but I think you burned it, honestly.
Well, yeah, sure. I haven't cooked eggs very much, so I tried.
Well, he's vegan, so he's kind of out of his element.
Yeah. I mean,
fake egg.
I probably wasn't the one to try and cook eggs, but I tried.
No, but like it. I mean, it did. Someone did have to be brave and just try that shit. I mean that is true.
Yeah,
like the first guy. Besides, like the first guy that drank milk.
Yeah. Who woke up one day and was like, I'm gonna suck a cow's tit.
Can I?
Well, were they actual cows back then? Or?
Go ahead, Tom. I was just gonna say, can I Google this? I'm gonna go. When did eggs search? All right.
Yeah.
It might have not even been a chicken egg. Could have been like a different bird.
Yeah, by the way, Clef in the chat at discord.t1podcast.com notes that eggs don't come from a chicken's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I said pooping out of a chicken's butt, that was just me being colorful. I don't actually think that they lay eggs out of their asshole.
Chickens.
But thanks, Clef.
Out of ass eggs butt, I think.
What? No, because the original chicken egg didn't come from a chicken, though, right? Because it came from a creature that preceded the chicken.
No, it came it evolved from a fish that evolved from a rock that came from the Garden of Eden that crashed on a planet with a meteorite.
No, because chickens are chickens are dinosaurs, right? I'm not joking. Let's actually
dinosaurs
like,
are lizards. Birds,
dinosaurs?
They're not birds. They're lizards. Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Well, I was like, evolution is it's so gradual that you wouldn't be able to just pick one ancestor that would be like the transition points. Oh, it's half dinosaur, half chicken. It's like a gradient.
This is why I understand, Tom, why you're a chemist and not a biologist.
It's hard to know.
It's just kind of
there's never any questions. Yeah. Like dinosaurs had eggs, right? So you could eat a dinosaur egg.
I think so.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs had eggs. Sorry. Sure. I'm on the Wikipedia page for eggs while you guys are talking.
Most non-mammals lay eggs.
Technically, this is a topic I was going to save for a rainy day, but since we're talking about eating things, technically you can eat.
Does Grimace's species lay eggs?
What the fuck?
I don't know. He's not linked on the Wikipedia page.
Talk.
Grimace eggs.
Yeah.
I've heard that he might be a living taste bud, but they're also a monster called Grimaces, so I don't know what he's supposed to be.
Wait, is Grimace a bird or a mammal?
I've heard that he might be an embodiment of a milkshake, and I've also heard that he's a taste bud, so I don't know.
Okay. Or was he not even supposed to represent anything? He was supposed to be like a colorful cartoon character.
He's just like a puffy purple thing. I don't know what he is.
He's a tumor.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know.
He replicates like in cell division.
What is Grimace? Go ahead.
Well, I've got an article here that says he does hatch from an egg. So
this is
a reputable source clickhole here.
I'm going to click your hole.
So if I order a sausage egg McMuffin from McDonald's, was the egg that they put in there, did that come from Grimace?
Which came first, Grimace? The Grimace or the egg?
Yeah.
You think so Grimace I do have a question.
Biology is difficult.
What? Here's the question. On a scale, your 1 to 12 scale, how flammable do you think Grimace would be?
What is he made of?
Yeah, I think it would be very flammable. I think if you were wearing a Grimace like costume, you would not be able to go near like a heat source at all.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, probably. You're probably right. I'm just realizing how ridiculous that question I just asked. Spaghetti, you have a more serious one to ask our guest and not waste his time, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. So we've established that you can eat.
At this point, Tristan keeps trying to steer the topic to cannibalism. So at the request of Lars, I've been cutting around it as Tristan goes on about it for at least 10 minutes.
Why are you yelling? What does this have to do with chemistry?
Why can't I get an answer?
No one wants to answer.
He needs to know.
I need a scientist to answer this question because it's important.
This is still biology, though.
Okay.
Biology is confusing, man.
Tristan.
Yes, sorry. Okay.
I don't even remember what I was... Oh, like, I think we're giving you an answer. It's just you don't want to hear it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I respect that. Okay, thank you, Tom.
That's okay. I wish you well in your ability to not commit crimes. You know, I'm glad you felt bad when you killed that snake. That's
Yeah, like, I'm just saying, since I killed a snake, it's like a domino effect. Maybe later on I'll become a cannibal. I'm scared, okay? I'm worried.
Better at weed whacking.
Yeah. Anyway.
Get better at weed whacking, okay.
Tom, I have a slightly, like, more / similarly uncomfortable question. How's the thesis going?
My thesis is going... can we talk about eating people again?
Okay, so here. What parts of the human body would you want to
eat? Nope, ad revenue. Ad revenue.
This is a thesis in anthropology instead of chemistry.
Ad revenue. Trust me.
No, I'm nearly done. I'm nearly done. I've written it all. I got some comments back from a supervisor, and he's got really, you know, big issues. So I've just I'm very close to submission, which is good, I think. Which is a lot better than I was, because I've been saying it's very close for like maybe a year, and it just hasn't been true, I guess, because it's still taking me a year.
So what?
And I don't know whether that was just me lying to people or just me completely delusional, in a sense that I was like, oh, if I just try really hard, I'm sure I could, in 2 days, I could write 20,000 words or something like that. Like, I was just, I just had that belief. I was like, well, I just have never really tried writing that much before. I'm sure if I really tried. But then you sit down and you're like, all right, I guess it's time to try. And then you're like, I don't really feel like trying. I just don't feel like trying. And then you don't do it. And you're like, ah, yeah, but when I actually will try, I'll be able to do it. But it just turns out you never feel like trying to write that much at one point. So you just have to do it gradually.
Yeah, it's kind of like picking up the...
Yeah.
It's like when you're cleaning your apartment or your house. And it's like if you do a little bit every day, it's easy to keep up with. But if you put it off, it seems more and more daunting. But on like a much grander scale. And deciding the fate of your entire future life. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think it is like anything, you know. It is better. You just have to do things gradually. You know what I mean? But I just was a bit delusional in the sense that you think you can do it. It's like, oh, I want to learn to play the piano. And I think a lot of people would have the belief, it's like, well, if I had 2 weeks and I wasn't doing anything else, I bet I could learn to play the piano really good. But you just can't. You know what I mean? Like, you actually does take you a year. Like, it's better to do an hour, you know, 2 hours every week for 2 years rather than just trying to spend 2 weeks to do it. But, sorry, was that too serious of an answer? I don't
know. No.
That was way better than cannibalism. Like, fantastic.
Oh, good.
Also, yeah, this is a comedy show, but yeah, people will appreciate the insight if you got it. And I will say that I totally understand the just, like, sitting down to do it thing is difficult. I mean, I do a lot of editing for the show, and it's one of those things where when you actually sit down and do the work, it's significantly less daunting, but otherwise it's just like the elephant in the room that just kind of sits there and you're like, oh shit, I should be doing this. It's never as bad.
I wonder if you could eat an elephant.
Can you? Well, one bite at a time.
What?
Dressing.
Oh, eat an elephant.
Yeah.
That's the expression, right?
I mean, if the lions can do it, I'm pretty sure you can eat an elephant.
Well, Tom, I got a follow-up question then, and I don't know if you'll really have an answer for this yet, but like, once you don't have the thesis to do anymore, what do you do at that point?
Oh, so I mean, I technically the problem I have with my life is that I've kind of, in a sense, finished my PhD timeline, because I started like a bit over 5 years ago. So I've already moved on. Like, I'm doing some paid researcher work. So what happened is then the thesis gets pushed to my spare time. So I'm doing other research during the day and then doing the thesis. Like, they're kind of loosely related. So it's like, it's not too much of a big deal. But I'm just going to keep doing some laser shit that people pay me to fire lasers, and it's some... can't really complain. So
remember when I was kid. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, hopefully I get more time to actually do videos as well, because that's my hope.
I remember when I was a kid, I was very interested in lasers, and I think that cartoons kind of made them seem, I guess, I don't know, like a little cooler than they turned out to be when I actually took science class. But I'm kind of curious. Do you still have fun with them actually as an adult?
I mean, I have fun with them in terms of the science. Like, there is some interesting science. I don't get to like take them outside and point them at planes, you know, which is potentially, you know, from a cartoon point of view, the most fun you can have. You know, don't do that, by the way.
Don't point them at people.
Officially, it's like, we can condone cannibalism, but pointing a laser at a plane is a really bad idea. You go to jail,
like,
and you're
wasting so much meat.
Yeah. You could cook a person with a laser.
Good, I suppose.
Ooh.
might not taste pretty great. Yeah. No, but it was, it's also kind of nice though, because it was like lasers were kind of in that category of quicksand, in that like Saturday morning cartoons led me to believe that they were going to be a bigger deal. I used to think that death beams were going to be a problem as an adult. Like I was going to have to avoid them.
I thought I would have to avoid fucking anvils and pianos on a daily basis, like walking down the street. But no, it's just the only thing you have to avoid is getting hit by a car.
Or taxes.
Oh, fuck.
Which
I've been dodging my taxes. Allegedly, in Minecraft. Shit.
That does happen in Tex Avery cartoons when they do the gag of them trying to cross the street. They look both ways. There's no cars for miles. They take one step and just like a semi truck runs them down suddenly.
That is a good metaphor for taxes. You're right.
Yeah.
But I suppose what happens is that like a lot of science things, it just becomes an everyday item and then it's boring. You know, how many lasers are used in the internet so that we could talk like this, and you know, the lasers used in checkouts. You know, I don't know if you have many self-serve checkouts over there, but in Australia, they got all these self-serve checkouts. They do suck, but they often have lasers that shine up underneath, like to like scan your product, but then you have to like scan your tin can or whatever across that like bit of glass constantly.
Yeah.
But if that bit of glass gets scratched up, then the lasers don't shine through it properly, right? So how they prevent it getting scratched up is those blocks of glass are sapphire, like they're big blocks of sapphire. So there's basically been a sapphire industry that's come up to like make these huge blocks of this material that was like, I guess, a little bit hard to make initially. But it's just like that would have been like, you know, a huge thing if it was done in the 70s or 80s, but it's like it's done now and it's like, oh yeah, it just doesn't even like, no one's even aware of it. And that's, I guess, like the kind of difficulty of science is like magical things kind of happen and really impressive things happen, but they just happen, you know, often just to drive consumerism. And well, so you don't really like appreciate it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also like that's I mean, as quote unquote boring as that sounds, that's the that's an industry you want to fucking get into. It's like nobody knows we exist, but everyone needs us, and they're ubiquitous, so they have to buy it. So that's actually pretty smart.
There's probably one factory in China that makes it, and if they shut down, then they don't build any more of those machines. But I don't know. I haven't looked into it, obviously, but that's usually
I'm
how
doing
it is.
A podcast. Stop.
You're right, bud.
Sorry, it's my cat and my rabbit. They're
the snakes
fighting right next to me.
Wait, Tristan, in like a quarter mile radius, how many snakes are surrounding you at the moment? By the way, I am curious. Like what?
Fuck. Shit. Okay, I'll look out the window. Oh shit. Okay, I don't know. There's more than three. I can't make it past two though when I count.
Are you bummed?
Is one of them white?
Are you bummed, by the way, Tristan, that like when you watched cartoons as a kid, and you would see snakes as a problem, that they actually did turn out to be a real life adult issue for you?
No, because growing up, I wanted to be a zoologist. So I really enjoyed reptiles. And
so this is your way of like doing science.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just my way of experimenting. You know, I grab the weed whacker, find some unsuspecting snakes, and I go to town.
Snakes are cool, though.
In those
Yeah, snakes are pretty cool.
Oh, so?
In the
Let him explain.
Yeah.
Me or him?
Oh,
anyone
who? Oh, I was like in those cartoons you watch. Were you also afraid of going to a remote island and then like the natives put you in a pot and cook you up and like slice carrots in other vegetables into the pot?
Pirates
and
of
just,
the
like,
Caribbean 2 was my nightmare.
Oh, I saw that in French. It was really weird. I don't speak French. That's the end of that story. It wasn't like significant.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
So. The reason why I think snakes are cool is because they're like one giant muscle, and it's amazing like how fluid their movement is with just the control of that entire bodily muscle.
I think you just described why I think they're creepy, though.
I think I just described a man's penis.
Like it's just like a slithering snake just kind of like crawling up to you and just you die.
It's amazing, though, like how incredibly fast they are. And some snakes that are like predators have infrared vision, and it's just fucking cool.
Also, can't they slither through like the pipes and bite you on the wiener from the toilet or something? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a story in an area that I visited for a field trip where a 8-foot long eastern diamondback rattlesnake bit a guy on the ass at a like Native American reservation we visited. So mm-hmm. that was a good time.
Yeah. Wait, was this in the toilet or just in general? Like you just found a snake?
No, no. He like sat on the toilet and I guess a snake bit him on the ass.
Wow.
And when they got the snake out, it ended up being 8 feet long.
Yikes.
I remember as a kid, I think it was Discovery Channel. Well, I think it was Discovery Channel, and it was something about poisonous animals. Like they were talking about like snakes and spiders, and I was afraid to go to Australia because like one of the things they showed was like apparently someone sitting down on a toilet and there was like a poisonous spider in the toilet. It bit him on the ass, and I haven't found that clip because it's like a really blurry memory. My mind was like, oh, I was like afraid of sitting on toilets.
Yeah.
I had to check if there was a spider there.
That actually coincides with one of my questions for Sir Tom here.
Yep, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
Is it so, about biting people in the ass?
Kind of.
Okay.
What are like some like struggles and experiences you've had with like Australia wildlife and just pests in general over there?
Well, I mean, it's funny because you kind of have these stereotypes about snakes and spiders, but they're just kind of correct. In a sense, like they genuinely can like kill you. I don't think anyone's died from a spider bite in a long while. I think there was a death somewhat recently mm-hmm. and it like broke maybe a 50-year streak of not having any deaths by
days
spider bites.
Days without spider deaths, zero.
Yeah, like someone had to reset the sign. Yeah.
I don't know, Tom, because by comparison, in America, we don't even have that statistic on our mind at all. Whereas it seems like yeah. you guys do. Yeah. So
yeah, yeah. Because the one and probably the one from the documentary that bit the guy on the toilet is a classic story of it. It's these redbacks, and redbacks are quite common, and they're very small. And yeah, it's just so wild that these spiders have just evolved a venom that can kill a person. Like it's just unnecessary, and you feel like that. Yeah. They feel like asshole spiders. Like whether they're aware of the fact that they have the ability to kill you, but they kind of act like that. You know what I mean? If you can, they don't seem like a really shy kind of spider. That's like, oh, sorry, I accidentally grew this venom. they look like they maliciously. The vibes you get from that kind of spider is like
they look like a dick.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is what I always tell people when they're like, oh. I wish that Lord of the Rings was real life or it's like some fantasy scenario, because this is what it'd actually be like, is like things would be out to kill you. So like people should look at this and say, no, yeah. It's probably a good idea that we don't have like venomous creatures all the time actually, everywhere. It just
there's a giant spider in Lord of the Rings.
Problem in Arizona.
Yeah, Shelob. Oh, dude. Oh. Okay. A weird thing about Shelob, by the way. You guys remember Shelob from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah,
by the way?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there was this video game series in the mid to late 2010s called Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor, and
yeah,
for some reason they turned Shelob the spider into a very hot woman, and it was very very confusing.
Whoa! I know what I'm looking up after this recording.
Yeah, it was like, what the fuck? I mean, I appreciated it, but it was very strange. It's like, oh, I would have sex with Shelob. Weird sentence.
I did.
Anyway.
I love the idea of reading like Tolkien and being like, this is perfect, except
we need more tits.
Yeah. Gonna find a way. You're like one of the only female characters in the whole book. Like, all right, Shelob, all right. It's like one of three female characters. Like, all right, make it sexier.
I was going to mention that in Arizona, especially like when I visited, a big issue and thing we have to do, especially when going to the bathroom, is lifting up the toilet seat and flushing the toilet 1 to 2 times prior to going because of the scorpions everywhere.
Mm.
And there's been times where scorpions have literally crawled up and stung you like in the ass while taking a shit. So people try really hard not to have that happen by flushing several times, or they'll take like a toilet brush and like scrape around inside the toilet to make sure there's nothing hiding. And same thing with like their shoes. They have to like grab like a stick or something and like bang out their shoe every time they put it on, because it's where scorpions like to hide the most.
Yeah, Australia doesn't have a scorpion problem. I think we've got scorpions. They're around, but they're not really particularly venomous. Someone will probably correct me on that. But yeah, they seem scarier than spiders or snakes, or maybe not snakes, but they seem pretty wild. Like, they can hurt you in two ways. Like,
three, they can bite you, pinch you, and sting you. Like, that's scary, man.
Yeah, that's too much, man.
Yeah, they're just like little battle tank units. I don't trust them.
Imagine if we had like gigantic scorpions just roaming the earth.
Why?
Yeah.
You think you make an explosive out of spider snake venom?
That's a good idea.
I don't know. That's like a weird thought I had.
Doesn't venom have to be injected though, or?
Oh, yeah. I love Venom. He's like from Spider-Man 3, I think.
Oh yeah, and that shitty movie series. Yeah. Wait, guys, this is still biology, though. We have a chemistry guest. Yeah, we should talk to him about chemistry.
Okay. I know. Okay. That's why I'm talking about, yeah, turning the venom into an explosive.
I got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a question. Okay.
All right. Is it biology?
So,
because I only answer biology questions now.
Okay. All right.
So cannibalism.
So what's an element or like a substance that you really wish that you could take like a sip or a nibble from, but you shouldn't.
Oh, like one that looks delicious, or one that
one that looks like a forbidden snack.
Funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like dealer's choice.
Like a candy or something.
Yeah. Something looks tasty.
Tide Pods.
I mean, there's a just the Tide Pods. I mean, I think it'd be really funny to. I think a lot of radioactive things would be funny to eat.
Oh yeah.
But like not. If assuming in this hypothetical scenario, you know, I'm on a desert island, Jeffrey Dahmer's there, and I don't get poisoned by anything. You know, I think because then, you know, if like someone's got a detector, you know, and it goes off because you're there, like I think that's funny. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
I did think
that's actually
my girlfriend once got a bone scan, like where they like inject you with what's the element, technetium or whatever, like the stuff they make in a bloody particle accelerator or something.
Jesus.
And it makes you super radioactive, and then they can like scan your bones or your nervous system or something. But then they're like, all right, go home. And then like she was so radioactive for the next like 2 days. It was amazing. Wow. I could like get the Geiger counter out. I could tell when she was like coming into the room.
That's my question. Okay, so how much radioactive material would you have to eat so that if someone was flying overhead in an airplane and had a Geiger counter, that they could sense you on the deserted island? I'm assuming a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, overhead in an airplane, that's a lot of air. So that's quite quite far away. But I feel like you would. I mean, enough to hurt you, I think.
Okay. Sounds like, so not a viable strategy.
Sounds like the next Mr. Beast challenge. Not, like, how much radioactive material will these people eat to get saved on this deserted island?
I mean, about like over 100 years ago, people were making medicine and like tonics and things like that with radioactive material because they thought it would be like to cure ailments with it.
I mean, I don't think they were doing that for like a goof and a gaff, though. I think they were just doing that because they didn't know better.
Fucking, I can't wait to get the dollar store over the counter meth.
They used to do stuff like that, man. Well, they were weird. They were just like
they did.
Yes.
Yeah, they did used to sell meth, but that's not radioactive.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not good for you. But you're right. Yeah. I don't think it is. Actually, I have no idea. I would be talking out of my ass if I, yeah. Someone
you could irritate the meth and make it radioactive meth.
Good, yeah. But is this just a way to sneak in a Breaking Bad reference?
No, we've been avoiding it. You brought it up, bitch.
I said to not bring it up.
You're the one that brought up science, bitch. All
right, dude. You got me.
I was talking about things like when they would put radium. They would put things like radium in like they had like radium water, radium toothpaste. They had cups made of uranium glass. Like just crazy shit like that,
kind of metal.
Hey, Tom.
Like it's
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. And I have a problematic opinion.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Okay, hold on. Let's mute him real quick before he says something bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Patreon.com/T1podcast if you want to get bonus episodes of the show and get early release privileges, by the way. And let's go ahead and hear what Tom has to say.
So, the people who are drinking radioactive stuff, I don't hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they might have had a point. There's a chance they could have had a point about radio. Because, see, this is why it's a problematic minute. So, if you're actually... I've got to be really careful here. A little bit of radiation is potentially good for you. I say potentially.
Mm.
So, just a little bit. And it's very hard to prove. Okay. And that's why it's a very problematic opinion. And I noticed there was someone in the chat who asked, can you die? Can't you die from too much radiation? Yes, absolutely. We're not doing the Mr. Beast challenge where you get detected by a plane.
Hulk isn't real? What
from
the
gamma.
Fuck?
Mr. Beast challenge. How long can you stay inside of Chernobyl before you die?
Okay. So, Tom, in this thesis idea of yours about, oh, some radiation is good for you. Can you explain why?
So
there's natural radiation.
So your body survives on, like, you know, duplicating cells and everything like that, and being able to repair damage, and too much damage and you get cancer or anything like that. And so a little bit of, because we've all evolved with the background radiation, right? So
yep.
And background radiation would damage DNA, and then your body is able to repair that at a low level. So basically, I'm coming across like a quack now, right? It feels thanks for having me on the Joe Rogan podcast. But if you look at the science data, it's very hard to prove, but pretty much all the data shows that at very low levels, it actually has a kind of a holistic effect. It actually is beneficial. And you see that with people who have been in areas where with the higher radiation, have lower cancer rates. And that feels this, see, it's problematic, but
so what you're saying is
we
should sleep inside microwaves.
No.
No, just eat a shitload of bananas.
Yeah.
Just to kind of back up your insane madcap theory. I had an x-ray recently because I've been having shoulder problems, and it helped because it was a part of the process to me realizing that I also needed an MRI and that I have a bone spur and that I'm going to need surgery for it. So basically that amount of radiation was quote unquote good for me, and that the benefits offset the potential damage.
Yeah.
Oh, I got an MRI.
So there's that, before Oppenheimer, before the war and the bomb, because that really changed public opinion about radiation. They were starting to do things like give people, you know, x-ray bursts, that kind of thing, because it triggers an immune response in your body and you get a bit of inflammation, and then that can help. So it's a kind of, and of course that changed after the World War II, because radiation got a bit scary. But it's funny to kind of laugh at the radium tonics and all that kind of thing from there, but you kind of, like, they weren't idiots, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of fad stuff, I suppose, but also, it's kind of like, it's weird to kind of see that. Anyway, so where I'm going with all this mad bloody theory is, like, if someone's listening to this in 30 years and you can get a radium tonic again, I'll be right. And if someone doesn't listen to this in 30 years, then what are they doing? You know, obviously, this is the thing to listen to in 30 years.
This just is. This will be humanity dies from radiation poisoning.
Yeah, yeah, they've only got one recording left from the internet.
When you look up radium water on Google Images, there is the guy that drank so much radium water that his jaw fell off.
Well, that's jaw dropping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, that leads to an actual counterpoint, though, because isn't Marie Curie's tomb like heavily guarded? And because there is a very diminishing return point very quickly, I'm assuming, with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why it's so hard. And especially if you look up, you know, anything about getting exposed to radiation,
you'll find a lot of people dying very horrific deaths. But yeah, everyone's exposed to radiation all the time. Yeah. It's just about how much, you know. And there's a lot of stuff about radon and buddy. I know in the US they, you know, have radon stuff in basements and that sort of thing. And Australia has a lot higher levels of radon, and we don't give a fuck about it for some reason.
You have too many Boy Scouts building nuclear reactors in their basements in Australia.
Yeah, so it's fine. It kind of all evens out. So, yeah, I don't know. That concludes. Is that physics chat? It's nearly physics chat. We've done it. We're not going to cover every science.
I got you. I have a chemistry question for you, Tom. If you're ready for this shit.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, finally.
Okay. So, Tom, I noticed that you're a very, very cool guy that likes to, you know, mess around with some chemicals and maybe blow some shit up and set it on fire, right?
I mean, can't confirm or deny, but yep.
Allegedly. How about that?
Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly. So, cool guy. Yep.
Where do you get your white phosphorus?
That one is a harder question. there are many questions I will answer, and that isn't one of them, actually.
Okay. Where do you allegedly get this chemical that might be white and kind of phosphorus-y in Minecraft?
Well, I mean, you can make it, and I think that's the official story I'm going with. All right. I mean, the answer is someone donated it to me, but which is very nice, but I wasn't expecting it to show up, and it did. Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, Tom. If someone came to me and I was running a science channel, and they're like, "Hey, so I have this substance to donate to you. It's white phosphorus. What do you want it? Here you go." I don't know. My first thought wouldn't necessarily be, "Oh, that's nice." It would be like, "What the fuck did you actually just?"
I would expect a vial of jizz, if I'm being honest, in the mail.
Yeah. It sounds a bit sus, but even if someone was like, "Hey, you run a chemistry channel. Mm-hmm. I have something to donate," and I say, "Sure. What could possibly go wrong?" And then. And then it turns up and it's white phosphorus. You're a bit like, oh.
Maybe an excuse you can use is that you're actually a superhero and your superpower is that you can metabolize different elements inside your body. Like Firestorm.
Your useless superpower is jizzing white phosphorus.
Yeah. Oh. God, that would... your dick would always be on fire. Be like a new kind of STD.
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, anyway. So that's how I got it. But I jizzed it. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
That's his official story to the feds.
Yeah.
It's like a weird Spider-Man. Spider-Man that shoots out like phosphorus.
By the way, guys, we are running relatively short on time. Yeah. So I do want to turn it over to either Spaghetto or Tej if they have any last burning questions.
I had several questions, but Tristan here wanted to talk about cannibalism most of the time.
I do have some questions, too, if we want to rapid fire this shit.
Okay, so this is related to the elements that you would like to eat and, like, the radiation talk. And I was thinking, like, what if you took yellow cake uranium, and you made it into a cake mix with like the Betty Crocker yellow cake, and you made like yellow cake that's like really radioactive. It sounds like a really bad idea.
I mean, yes, that's more of a statement than a question, but I'll agree with you and say yes, that does sound like a bad idea.
Do not do this, guys. Liability. Yeah. Okay, we are not responsible for this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is why we need like a virtual machine for like the world and humans and stuff. Just like run it in a VM instead of like actually, you know.
What is the sketchiest chemistry channel that you've seen?
His own.
Yeah, there's definitely ones that come and go.
Yeah, they fucking died.
Yeah, I mean, I think they stay up if they die, but yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely people who are, I mean, I like the chemistry, and I like the chemistry behind explosives. But there's a lot of people who really like explosives and don't really care about the chemistry. And that scares me a little, especially, when you're really trying to make large amounts and do stuff. It's a little bit dodgy. But completely on the other scale, I think it's really funny when people just upload drug synthesis to YouTube. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's so funny. Like, that's funny. Like, I'm not going to do it, and it gets banned. And, like, you know, but, like, I don't know. It's just, like, it's such a, yeah, such a weird thought to be, like, doing something illegal and then being, like, you know what? I'm going to put this on YouTube. And
devious and, like, that link challenge.
Yeah.
I thought of this question because someone on another server wanted to talk about chemistry channels, and they were talking about this channel where they were like, oh, here's like a drug test where you could see if your drugs are really pure. And it was like, oh, okay. And he was like, this channel might be gone in a year.
Yeah.
But like, he was like, hey, I just wanted to post about this channel.
Yeah.
And where he was just, yeah.
I mean, it sucks.
It sucks because like that you want like, that's just information, you know what I mean? And like drugs exist, and like drug testing is all about harm reduction, that kind of thing, but you just can't post it anymore. And it's like, it gets taken down, you know, it's like, we just have to pretend that drugs don't exist in the chemistry world. And it's like, God, so stupid.
Yeah. It's like
I think someone could probably go register like their own URL and, mm-hmm. and, you know, make a website like howtodrugs.com or something and post the recipes there. I just don't think Coca-Cola wants to advertise over a video necessarily. Yeah. I think is a concern.
Yeah, it's like, hey, here's my tutorial series where I make every recipe in the Anarchist Cookbook that I posted to YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to mention something, okay. So you mentioned the word dodgy, by the way, and I'm going to go ahead and say something that sounds like an insult, but is actually a huge compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of your channel's appeal is the dodgy element to it. Like, there's a little bit of like, oh, this is kind of risky, and we're just kind of slapdash doing this, but hey, let's see what happens. I think that's kind of why people are tuning in, because it's fun.
Yeah, and I love that part. It's so funny because I've kind of, you know, the channel has done pretty well over the last 2 years or so, and I can kind of afford to spend a bit of money on the videos, and the temptation is to go, oh well, I'm just, you know, I'm going to do the synthesis, I'm just going to buy a bloody, you know, $5,000 bit of glassware. I mean, I'm not going to spend that much on glassware, but like, just like go, mm-hmm. you know, like I could move into a proper space, you know, I'm not making enough money to do that, but like the temptation is, you know, as you get more successful, to get more professional. You know what I mean? Like, that's the natural progression of a lot of channels. And it's this kind of like this weird balance I think I've got to keep hitting of like, I don't want to improve things too much. Don't want to make it too easy on me. Like, I on myself.
Mm.
Does that make any sense? Like,
yeah, it does.
I can't get too professional. I think even the filming, like, I can get better cameras, but I think if I start getting actually good at filming, it'll lose a lot of its charm. Maybe that's just an excuse for me to not learn how to actually use a camera properly.
Or maybe there is something to that though. Cause it's like, if you have someone who's apparently has a chemistry channel and their filming is really good, you might think that they're not spending enough time like on the protocols for the chemistry stuff. Cause they're, I don't know, they're splitting their interest at that point. I feel like I trust a chemistry channel that has kind of dodgy filming a little bit more, because it's like, oh, they're actually dialed into what they're doing. It's like how you trust a fat chef.
Yeah, you know? Maybe.
So, if he's a chemistry channel, then Sir Tom, what is your favorite episode of Jimmy Neutron?
I didn't really watch it as a kid because I didn't have the buddy. I only had free to wear buddy ABC. Shout out the ABC. In Australia,
I didn't watch it either.
But that movie, God, that movie was pretty good. Yeah. I'm not going to rewatch the movie now because I'm sure it's not actually good. But I remember coming out of the movie as a kid and thinking, like, that was a good movie, which probably says a lot about my channel. If I'm like, that was the peak of cinematography.
Do you think Jimmy Neutron is on a watch list?
Yes.
With like all of the experiments he's doing in his backyard?
Yeah, yeah, for
probably
sure.
Dexter
Jimmy
too,
Neutron
I mean,
is actually just an animated show about Tom.
Yeah.
Dexter does more to keep his laboratory a secret, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like probably not enough. I feel like he's like a stupid little kid. You could probably figure that out.
Well, his parents haven't figured it out. It's just only his
sister.
Yeah,
but didn't they establish at one point that he uses like men in black technology on them to wipe their memories and stuff? Or am I?
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he'd be like a, you know, a national security threat.
Yeah,
being that intelligent and being able to build mechs and like atomizers.
It is also a cartoon
announcement.
Yes,
you're pregnant.
So, this episode's been good, but man, I gotta really poop. Are we wrapping up?
Oh yeah, we can wrap.
I have a few more questions.
Just if you want to run, we'll do the last question while you're pooping.
Oh, if I go poop, bro, you're not gonna see me for the next 20 minutes.
Okay, you want to tag out then, and we'll finish up in about 5 minutes.
I could wait if we finish up in the next 5 minutes. I think I can make my bowels hold
okay.
It.
Okay,
just
all right, lightning round then. All right, since you mentioned the topic, so Nile Red is known for making videos where he does experiments with his urine and he synthesizes, you know, artificial sweetener out of his pee. Have you tried doing any explosive fart experiments?
No, I haven't done any explosive fart experiments. I think the human body is a really interesting area for the channel to expand into. But I don't understand biology enough to do anything.
It's going to be my ass pretty soon if we don't hurry.
Okay.
This is more like organic chemistry at that point. Yeah.
Was that it?
Okay. I noticed because I was watching, I think I was the only person that watched your second channel in preparation, but I noticed.
Yeah.
Are you an Aphex Twin fan?
Oh, and because it's midnight, I thought I'd bring out the Panda speakers. So today's music is supplied by Aphex Twin.
Yeah.
Because I started hearing music, I was like, wow, this sounds like Aphex Twin. That I looked up in your info, and it was like, oh, you're posting all of his SoundCloud stuff.
Yeah.
Which does that get around the content ID system?
It does, because I started doing that like as soon as he posted it, because it wasn't even, I thought it was funny because he hadn't even taken credit for it at the time, because people weren't sure if it was actually.
Alias.
So I was like, well, if we get content matched, it means that he has to take credit for it. And I was like, everyone was certain that he wasn't going to take credit for it, right? So if he's not going to take credit for it, then it has to stay. It doesn't. You can't get copyright matched on a song that doesn't have an artist, right? So that's what I was doing. And it's fine. Yeah, you can use any of those SoundCloud songs. Pretty much, there's one or two that are very similar, like remixes to ones that are on albums, and they get flagged. But there's only maybe one or two. And they've got like the same name as album tracks, but yeah, it's funny. And there's like 200, but there's like maybe out of the 200, there's 150 absolute garbage songs. So it's very similar to like going through the YouTube music library, in that you're just depressed because every song is like the worst song you've ever heard in your life.
I'm sorry. Nice to meet you, Tom. Bye, Lars. Advertise our channel. Holy shit, I have to shit.
Good luck.
Bye, guys.
Good luck.
By the way, I'll just mention real quick that reminds me of something, and we'll close up after this. But you guys ever heard of the most mysterious song on the internet?
Yes,
you can use that on YouTube.
I saw the Justin Wang
because
video.
No one's ever claimed it, so it's free there. Because it should be copyrighted, but it's not because no one's ever figured out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, go ahead and Google this. Just look up the most mysterious song on the internet. People have been trying to figure it out for like 20 years at this point, right?
Yeah. Did they actually find the SOG, though? Because I thought there was an update.
They tried.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is there a, four-hour YouTube essay video about this?
Of course. Of course. Good.
Yeah, good. Okay. Right, that's my plan for the day, then. Get no work done.
I'm a little disappointed that Tristan had to go poop, because I did have, like, a secondary bit prepared where I would just throw at him, like, first grade chemistry questions at him, but
we could just talk about him. We could just talk about him for the next half an hour, and then
yeah, he's homeschooled.
Yeah. By the way, we probably should wrap, though, and I'll go ahead and transition us out here. First of all, Tom,
okay,
thanks for coming on, bud. This has been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
That's right. Thanks for the invite.
Of course. And if people wanted to check out your channel, what's the best way to do that?
On the smallest screen you can find, like an iPod Nano. That's the best. That's the preferred way of checking out my channel, at Explosions and Fire or Extractions and Ire. The lower resolution, the better.
Awesome. And TJ, if people wanted to listen to your music, including the music that you create for the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Just go on soundcloud.com/Tiege, T-I-E-G-E. I also am an alias of Aphex Twin, so I post my music there too. So,
all right. And Tristan, if people wanted to check out your YouTube channel, what's the best way to do that? Thank you,
Tristan. Farting and shitting noises.
All right, this has been the first podcast. TJ, can you go ahead and take us out?
Okay, this is the first podcast, right? It's the first one? Not the second one?
No.
Okay, yeah, so this has been the first podcast with Lars, me, and Spaghetto, got any last words, Tom?
No. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, all let's right. go out. Let's go out with a bang. Yeah, that's your cue to drop an explosive. And
yeah, I know. I was scrambling around to try and find the nearest explosive. I don't have one, so.
That was a really good poop. Guys? YouTube.com/Spaghetto.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.